Oh, baby, how do you know? Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Hello there, my friend. Thank you for joining me. Great show today with Drew Tillman. His Band of Ages 911 will be with us for a reunion show. And then our good friend Robin Johnston is with us, the founder of Motivation Design Group. And Miriam has another of her candidates in the business spotlight. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out to truck. Truck and Car Concepts. With their cars, we're number one by far.
Truck and Car Concepts. Smoking hot summer savings are going on now. Get your free tailgate pong game with your purchase of any item $500 or more. A free tailgate pong game for your next tailgating party.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tripping out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. With their cars, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate pong game this week with your purchase of any item $500 or more at Truck and Car Concepts. Smoking hot summer savings going on now.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop. We always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. So we are here with a lineup of talent. This is a town. Somebody told me a while back that TLH stands for Talent Lives Here. I wish I could tell you so that I could credit the source, but I always thought that was rather clever. You know, when you're at the airport and they've got TLH as the official designation for the Tallahassee now international airport. So it's a simple TLH means Tallahassee or talent lives here. All right. Well, if it does, we certainly have a fair representation of that here today with Drew Tillman and his musical talents and a fellow who many of you know, Drew, and have been following his career, has a number of recordings, CDs that he's produced, and he's got this reunion show coming up of 911, which is the band that was in operation many years ago, and they're back. So they're doing this reunion show. We're going to find out about that. And he's got one of his bandmates that has joined him. We'll have plenty of music there. That's all happening in the second hour with Drew Tillman. And I should note, too, and we'll talk about this, he's one of those few, maybe the only one from the Tallahassee area to have been invited now, I think, four times to the 30A Songwriters Festival over there in the Sandestin or Destin area. A note of distinction, because that's a festival that will attract, you know, a couple hundred thousand people over there from around the country that come in to hear some of the nation's best in music. And he's been up there on stage performing with the likes of those folks, playing his original tunes. And we like that. In fact, if you're unfamiliar with this, we have made sure that we have an opportunity many times, as often as we can, to bring local musicians to you, because we want you to hear their original songs. And it's tough in this town to find venues that will accommodate these local artists on a consistent basis. Typically, they are pushed to play cover songs because people want to dance and drink beer and whatever, or the bar owners think so. So it's tough, and I think it's a disservice to the fact that we are fortunate to have a lot of very, very talented musicians. Some of them have been here. We hope to have a host of them join us over the months ahead. And Drew Tillman will contribute today to that effort. Well, and then we have in this first hour, Robin Johnston. He is the founder of Motivation Design Group. We're going to learn about his organization and his efforts to help local nonprofit associations and organizations, charitable groups, statewide associations, large and small. And he's got a great background in business and business development, marketing and sales. He will entertain us with and inform us of those activities that he is engaged in. Gives us a good insight, I think, into the kinds of folks that are making Tallahassee a very special place. And this is all happening before our eyes. And you will hear me say often how Tallahassee's profile is changing. And some of that by design, I think, through the efforts of various organizations. Some of it by consequence of the fact that there's a sort of synergism. You know, one thing happens, and some people are attracted to that, and they attract others, and so it grows in a sort of organic manner in which we begin to realize that we are more than just a college town or more than a state capital. Those are great things, and they're certainly magnet for the kind of people we're talking about. And not to mention the fact that many of us, you know, derive our income. We make our living serving those organizations, whether they are educational or political, we'll say, or government or in nature. Beyond that, I think Tallahassee is finding her place in the world, and that's certainly been the heart's desire for many in leadership. But in finding that place, it seems to me that Tallahassee's like this young girl, maybe an adolescent, who has been told who she is by many others over the years and has come to a point in her age, you might say coming of age, in which she's really finding that out for herself. And as we all do individually, certainly we're influenced by the experiences we've had and the people we're connected to. But ultimately, then, we have to really come to that on our own, do we not? And that whole process of going through adolescence, for all of us, I think, it's fair to say, is considerably painful and challenging and scary, uncertain, but at the same time, fantastic and adventurous, and bids us well when to consider us in that, I think, in that process of discovery. And of course, it's collective, right? So the conversations we have here point at these very creative, very interesting, very hardworking folks in various capacities in various ways. All of us then making contribution to this discovery of who we really are. Some have said it's Tallahassee finding its place on the wall. Some of us think it's about finding our sound. So what is Tallahassee's sound? Well, Drew Tillman's going to help us hear that a bit more clearly, I think. But what is that characterizes our approach to the world? You know, one of the ways that I like to learn how a person thinks and feels and behaves is to put in front of them a problem, or we'll call it a challenge or a puzzle that needs to be solved, and then learn from that person how they go about facing that challenge, solving that problem, discovering the solution to that puzzle, right? How do they go about creating for themselves some alternatives if none are immediately apparent? How do you go about managing an organization that is beyond your skill level? Okay, so, or what happens if all those things you've invested in drop away? Some of you have had a chance to view a TEDx talk that I did here a few months ago, and the title of that is Reinvention is a Necessity. Reinvention, not a matter of happenstance, not a matter of serendipitous sort of discovery that, oh, I've got to reinvent here because of some catastrophe that no one would have predicted. Now, my contention in this business of discovery and discovering who we are is that reinvention is part of that and is a necessary, a predictable part of life's journey. So it isn't the oddity. It's not the person who was famous and lost everything and came back. Those are the more celebrated examples of that. But it's something that we all are invited to do. We're all on the river, and we're all having to navigate that river full of rocks and swirls and waterfalls and sunken logs and some rather marvelously placid and gentle portions of that journey. We have it all. We have it all. All of us facing every day, the good, the tough, the easy, the bad, the high, the low, it all requires a degree of navigation, and it all requires that we are willing to reinvent. Folks, we're going to do that here. We've got Miriam Dady standing by as we reinvent ourselves through this break, and we will be back with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for this week's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by Send Out Cards.
Good morning, Tallahassee, Florida. It's Miriam Dady here with Tallahassee Business Spotlight. And it is my joy this morning to have a room full of people I adore. We have Tammy Pulsifer with 31 gifts and her two best helpers. Tammy, thanks for being here. Who have you got with you?
I have my two little girls, Elizabeth and Anna. And Anna is about to turn 7 years old, and Elizabeth is 9. Elizabeth's been my sidekick with 31 since she was 3 months old.
Wow.
So, do you guys want to say hello?
Hi.
Thank you, girls, for being here. Do you help your mom with the 31 business?
Sometimes.
That's good to know. I know that, Tammy, a lot of people that are curious about starting their own business and don't know where to go, they examine a lot of stay-at-home business opportunities. Tell me about 31. Tell me about the history of it. And what makes it stand out, especially for you?
Well, 31 was started by a pastor's wife around 2003. She was looking to help bring more income into her family and didn't want to leave the kids at home. And mm-hmm. You didn't want to have that the same just going to work and not seeing the little ones and missing that time at home, but really needed to help out financially. So long story short, after buying a cookie jar in the shape of a purse, she was inspired to start a boutique-style shopping experience from home where women could get together, shop together, encourage each other, and along the ideas that women oftentimes are so busy, whether they are a mom or a working woman or mm-hmm. someone who owns a business. A lot of times those times together with friends are forgotten, and it's months in between girls' nights out or months in between a shopping trip just with your buddies. So when she started this company, it was around the idea of celebrating, encouraging, and rewarding women in a group setting inside a home. So based off of the Proverbs 31 woman, she was looking at this beautiful description of the woman, written over 3,000 years ago, but still describes us to a T still today. And if you've ever looked at that passage, it's just a celebration of a woman throughout her day, starting very early in the morning before the sun is up, taking care of her household. and then just jumping right into her life outside the home with her entrepreneurship and her humanitarianism, giving to the poor and the needy, and her craftiness and going into the marketplace and selling things. And it talks about her making a profit and doing all of these things that make her name known in the city gates. And at the very end of the chapter, toward the end, it says that the children rise up and call her blessed, and the husband praises her name. And so that was kind of our founder, Cindy Monroe's aha moment of having a company that was really about celebrating women right where they're at, whether they are that stay-at-home mom or that working woman or that philanthropist, whatever, wherever she's at. And so 31 Gifts was born, and I've been able to watch it over nearly 9 years grow into this company that has continued to do that, giving, celebrating, rewarding women.
It's such a neat model to build a business around.
Yes.
Because it is very, I mean, that section of Proverbs is about an entrepreneurial woman.
Yes.
And the way she blesses her family.
Mm-hmm.
So that is so cool. I love that. And you've been with the company, when did you get in to 31?
2006.
2006. So you have really seen it evolve.
Yes. I was the 407th woman in the company, and we have almost 100,000 consultants now.
So I kind of guess you know what you're doing.
Yes.
You've been around long enough, and you'd stayed with your hand on the plow long enough to know the formula, to know how it works for individuals. That's fantastic. You mentioned when you were kind of outlining the model of the 31 woman, you mentioned what she does in her community and what she does for humanity. Tell me what you've got on the horizon right here in Tallahassee that people who want to be involved can kind of dip their feet in.
It's great. With 31, they've really cultivated a culture of giving. And so we as consultants are constantly looking for ways within our community. And the next event actually coming up is September 3rd at the Aloft Hotel downtown. Around 6 o'clock, we're going to get started. We're going to be doing a quarter auction, and this will be benefiting the Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Leon County. It's just a lot of fun getting together, meeting other vendors, networking within our city, and also being able to give back locally.
Cool. So there'll be a variety of vendors.
Right.
And you're kind of spearheading it.
Right.
How would people get in touch with you if they wanted to be a vendor at this? Is there still time for that?
Well, we are doing constantly the quarter auction. So
I see.
This quarter auction is ready to go with the vendors, but then the next one will continue to grow. But if you want to find out more information, you can find me on Facebook by searching Tammy's Timeout. Or you can go to my31.com/simplify, and all of my information is there to contact me.
That's the best way.
Right.
So it's my31.com/simplify.
Right.
Is how they would reach you.
Yes.
If someone just wants to come and bring a roll of quarters and bid on things, they're just going to show up at the Aloft.
Yes.
At 6:30. On September the
3rd. It's a Thursday night.
September the 3rd. It's a Thursday night, which there's really not that much going on Thursday nights.
Not yet.
And the Aloft is a fun place to hang out anyway.
Yes.
So, that's a terrific thing to do. Okay. Now, one of the things that I love about just observationally watching you do your business is the way in which you use the 31 bags in community service. Tell everybody listening a little bit about the Ronald McDonald House and what you do.
Well, 31 Gives was set up, it was founded in 2012. So that's our gives and philanthropy portion of our business. Cindy was seeing that there was such a great need among families and women in America. So they started partnering with the Ronald McDonald House almost 2 years ago. We provide a welcome bag for every family nationwide that checks into a Ronald McDonald home. And whether they're there for adoption or a newborn or a sick child, they will get this welcome bag as kind of a gift and an acknowledgement that the house is there to bring them hope. And a lot of times the local houses will take it a step further and fill those bags with goodies that are tailored just for that family, whether it's clothes for a newborn baby or toys for a toddler. And so what you find is these homes really take a personal interest in the families. And then Ronald McDonald House, because we're partnered with 31, they get these bags for free. So however many families they see throughout the years, how many bags the 31 Gifts actually donates to them.
That's what a blessing that is, because people are at their most vulnerable mm-hmm. when their child is sick. And to be able to have that is a great thing. Our time is just about up. So thank you. Thank you, girls, for being here. Thank you, Tammy, for taking some time out of your day. And I want to tell folks one more time. It is my31.com/simplify. Mm-hmm. If you want to reach out to Tammy, also you can find her at Tammy's Timeout on Facebook. Reach out to her. You're going to have a great new friend, if nothing else. Thank you so much, Tammy.
Thank you for having me.
All right. I appreciate it, Tallahassee. Keep looking over your shoulder, because I'm always looking for great businesses to feature on Tallahassee Business Spotlight.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Todd Cutlip, General Manager of Browning Moving and Logistics in Tallahassee.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we are here and talking with Robin Johnston. He is the founder of something called Motivation Design Group, which for the uninitiated is not an interior design company. And it's not an athletic training facility. Or service. This is a very interesting organization, and it's tied in with the reason I wanted Robin with us this morning. But let's welcome Robin Johnston. How are you, sir?
I'm well, Brian. Thank you.
So you are the founder of this here Motivation Design Group,
correct,
which in my faint understanding really has to do with how you go about consulting with and serving largely nonprofit organizations. And
correct,
you do so from Tallahassee, for Tallahassee, but I know that you are involved in a lot of work around the country. Tell us about this and how it got started.
We're really focused on performance improvement for the nonprofit sector. It centers on fundraising and in particular, the relationship between the organizations and the volunteer board members who serve them, and it focuses on helping board members strengthen their fundraising in support of those organizations.
Okay, so, and in that capacity, you come to this with a fairly diverse background in business as a marketing guy and entrepreneur and many other things that I can't even recall, because and you're not a native of this country. Here you are, foreign born. So you came from Canada, right? What's your home originally?
I grew up in Brockville, Ontario, which is right on the Thousand Islands on the St. Lawrence River. Beautiful.
And why are you not there? I mean, why are you in Tallahassee after all these?
You know, on a day like today, that's an excellent question. I'm sure it's stunning up there. But give us about 3 months, and I'll let you answer the question.
I see. Okay. So that's when the only thing you'll see will be a few moose hanging out. And we love moose, don't we, folks? So there we go. In terms of your background, I know one of those endeavors had to do with helping companies become more profitable in and of themselves. And we're talking about companies that are for profit, right?
Yes.
And you had some remarkable successes along the way. What was the procurement? Was that the name of the software?
Varian Technologies was a startup procurement company. Yeah. So procurement for the uninitiated is purchasing. And we were four people in Charlotte, North Carolina in May of 99 when I joined. And in the next 20 months, we went from $350,000 to $6 million in revenues, grew from four people to 95 people.
Wow.
Amazing experience.
Wow, that is amazing. And so what's striking to me is that you were enjoying a great deal of success, having come all the way from Canada, pursuing your craftiness. And now you find yourself devoted to nonprofit. How did that switch occur?
You know, it's a great question, and it's been sort of a circuitous route. I had sort of alternated between for-profit and nonprofit work over many years. I had been a volunteer largely through my, really through my late teens and early 20s, and had some exposure to nonprofits then.
Yeah.
But after after leaving Varian in 2002, I started a consulting practice, again, focused on for-profits. And in the context of doing that, one of my markets was I would speak through colleges and university small business centers.
I'd
reach out to them.
I see.
Say, you bring the audience together. I'll come and speak on these topics, largely lead generation at that time.
Right.
And I happened to stumble into a little tiny college in rural North Carolina. And after my presentation on internet marketing on that particular evening, a gentleman walked up to me and identified himself as the president of the college and said he's looking for somebody like me.
Huh.
And I said,
I'm sorry, I don't do Windows.
And over, over the next couple of months, he successfully recruited me as Randolph Community College's first ever vice president development.
Very cool.
So it sort of fell into the nonprofit fundraising.
So this guy saw in you a talent and a vision that he wanted to try to bring to the college.
Yeah.
Now, that happened again. You had a stint over there with the folks at Tallahassee Community College.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was with Randolph Community College for 3 years. And then when the marvelous Marjorie Turnbull, who is my predecessor at TCC, retired in the fall of 2006, Bill Law, the president at that time, did a national search. And I was identified, and Bill hired me to come down here and follow Marjorie. Spent 7.5 years in that role, which was wonderful.
Which for me illustrates some of what we talk about here often, and that is the manner in which our academic institutions, the state capital itself, serves as a kind of magnet, doesn't it?
Right.
And it brings us these very talented folks, if you'll allow me to embarrass you a little bit. But I think in that capacity, then the question becomes not only for those who come here as students, but those who come as professionals, the thrust over the last, to say the last 10 years, has been to retain this creative class, as it's often referred to, Richard Florida and et al. But the fact that you've done so tells me, okay, something's working here. Or did you just get tired of moving around?
You know, it's an excellent question. And you mentioned Richard Florida and the creative class.
Right.
I had the pleasure of working here with Mike Pate, who most of us know.
Right.
And I don't think anybody in Tallahassee has more of a pedigree in understanding these issues than Mike does.
Yeah.
The number of things he's been involved
He's lived it, yeah.
Town and Gown, the Knight Creative Communities Initiative, and the Institute, and all those things.
Yeah.
And,
and this is a guy who retired and left.
Absolutely right.
We dragged him back here.
He understands this idea of attracting and engaging, especially young professionals.
Indeed. Indeed.
Well,
and so in that capacity, when you are consulting with anyone who is responsible for a nonprofit organization, you bring that experience, having worked from TCC side. Your responsibilities there were related to the foundation?
That's correct.
Right.
Yes.
So then you developed an interesting model, too, for board members. We're going to get into talking about that. Because this is an interesting approach that has to do with maximizing, I guess, and you say that motivation is really the key here.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep people fired up? Now, that certainly could be applied in any organization, but among volunteers, right, who are part of a nonprofit organization, man, it's all about the passion, isn't it?
It is. Passion.
So how do you do that?
You know, and I mean, you're exactly right, Brian. It's about the passion. And it's about, you know, I like to liken this to judo. You know, it's finding a way to bring people to align the direction in which they're headed with your values and make sure that you're all headed in the same place.
Okay, so you're not dragging me into something that I'm just not all, it's not there.
Exactly.
You're tapping into where I'm headed and then trying to align where you need to go and get me flowing in that.
So that in accomplishing what you're already motivated to do,
I get you
will help accomplish what we need to do.
I get you. Right. Interesting. And that's working.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Those who you serve locally, particularly associations that might be rather modest. Maybe they have one or two, three staff members. Do those folks come to you for help as well as some of the bigger groups?
They do. You know, one of the interesting things I found with this judo approach is that it's perfectly, in fact, it's better suited for smaller organizations because it was built in the community college environment, really, with my, 11 years experience between North Carolina and here at TCC. Community colleges typically have extremely small staffs. So across the nation of community colleges of all size, the average staff complement is 4.9 FTE.
Really?
Which compares to dozens in the university setting, even in a comparable sized institution.
Wow.
In contrast to that, the average community college foundation board has 26 people on average. And so it behooves those organizations to learn how to make use of that volunteer manpower better than in other organizations.
So in that fashion, you are not only helping motivate, you're maximizing resources, right?
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
That's getting the only way they can do it.
Getting the most you can out of every participant, every contributive part of that process. Folks, we're talking with Robin Johnston, the founder of Motivation Design Group, an organization, from my understanding, that is really focused, lasered in on helping nonprofit organizations perform more effectively, efficiently, especially when it comes to recruiting and retaining effective board members, people who are really carrying water, we'll say, for that organization. When you think about Tallahassee, here we have hundreds and hundreds of nonprofit associations and organizations. I would imagine that you stay pretty busy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're just starting out. We started Motivation Design Group a year ago in July.
I see.
And so it's, baby steps and then walking and ultimately running.
Yeah.
But we've had a really good response. We've branched out now and have clients in Jacksonville and the surrounding area as well. So
sounds great. We're going to continue our conversation here. Stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In business, time is money. And in times like these, money is tight. Every second counts. Downtime can be deadly. That's why Tallahassee business owners trust the good guys, Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. They keep business up and running hard with reliable, proven, first-time right service. Lighting, expansion, maintenance, replacement, repairs, and installations. Lawson & Lawson, giving business owners and homeowners better solutions, too, with energy-efficient green ideas to help squeeze every penny. That's what business owners need, and that's why they call Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. And you should, too. Don't waste precious time. Trust the good guys at Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. Call 562-4111 or on the web at llelectrical.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Robin Johnston. He's the founder of Motivation Design Group. This is a company that he's developed and is developing, I would imagine. It's rather new. I think you said you've been at it for now, about a
little over a year.
Year or so. But you bring to the conversation about nonprofit organizations a very interesting model that you've developed. Can you give us sort of the high points of how that works and what you try to get across?
Yeah, there's sort of a long story to it, of course, as we've discussed. But I think the essence of it is it's focused on finding those points of alignment between what an organization needs and what the individual volunteers need, the things that compel them to volunteer. And the whole principle behind it is if you can find that alignment where the two are adjoined, where the volunteers' motives align with the needs of the organization, that's where real magic happens.
Yeah, yeah. And I noticed, too, that you have an instrument that you've actually developed that is a sort of questionnaire that helps that person then, who is either the administrator of the organization or the person who they're talking to say, where are you going? What are the things that are really important to you? Let's see if we can find some matchups here. Is that
absolutely
fair?
And this is all, this is grounded in research, not to get too theoretical, but research going back to 1998, Gil Clary and Mark Snyder, and found six underlying volunteer motives. We do it for ego enhancement or for ego maintenance. We volunteer for reasons of understanding or of values or for career or social reasons.
I see.
And it's important for organizations to understand what is it that's driving their volunteers so they can look for those points of engagement.
One of the remarkable things about Tallahassee, I think, because we have this preponderance of nonprofits and the manner in which fundraising is conducted, there isn't a weekend that goes by that there aren't at least a dozen events going on, right?
Absolutely.
And it gets a little wearisome, if I can be honest. I mean, because you're like, man, I've gone to 6 spaghetti dinners this week. I don't know if I can do another one.
You know, and if you think it gets weary for the attendees, imagine what that does to the staff and volunteers as well. And, you know, Brian, I've got a pretty strong opinion about events in the role of fundraising and organizations. And I think we are, you know, as you're alluding to here, we are really over-evented. I think the role of events is very simple, and that's to be what I call the broad end of the funnel in fundraising. It's to give organizations an opportunity to attract people with whom they don't have an existing relationship so that they can get to know them and then work with them through other traditional fundraising.
Are you also in the business then of helping these organizations think of alternate fundraising models, maybe not the event oriented, or if it is an event, maybe it's coming at it a different way, or
annual giving, major giving, planned giving. You know, when you line up all the ways we can raise money, events are the worst thing we can do.
You know, I think about this, the One Spark over there in Jacksonville.
Right.
I mean, to me, that's a very novel, creative, fun way of bringing a lot of that to bear at one time. Mm-hmm. So you don't have this constant drone of, hey, I need more money, I need more money. And by the way, aren't they all competing for that same dollar that everybody needs in this town?
I mean, in fact, that's what happens with events is, and this is really what the frustration a lot of organizations feel, is the donor comes, participates in the event, and then leaves, and probably doesn't have any more of a relationship with the organization based on its mission than it did before the event. Right. In fact, it may not even really understand the organization's
mission. Well, and for us too, I think, as those who are motivated, speaking of motivation here, I mean, Jim Croteau was with us last Saturday, and he talked about the fact that here's America's second harvest at the Big Bend with all of this resource available, all of the opportunities to give, and they can't get people to come and potatoes out of their vegetable garden. You know, so there comes that point at which we're all just sort of maybe glazed over. How do we cut through that, do you think?
You know, again, motivating volunteers, we have to do the same thing with our donors. We have to find those points of intersection between what the donors' values and interests are and what our needs are. You know, one of the things I learned from a great grant writer a few years ago, I had the pleasure of knowing someone who's truly an expert in the grant writing field. He said, donors do not give to meet our needs. I said, well, what do you mean? That's why they've, you know. He said, no. Donors give to have us meet their needs. I said, that's really interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's a fundamental shift. It's very subtle, but it's a very powerful shift in how we have to think about working with donors.
I know a number of organizations that both for-profit and not-for-profit that practice with that in mind. Mm-hmm. They know that if we were looking at the empirical benefits, let's say the more measurable benefits that this person would get by having purchased from or contributed to, it isn't on that side. It is on their side in which they feel better for having done so. So you are meeting a need in their lives.
That's absolutely right.
But it's really not the one you're thinking of.
I mean, even in the for-profit world, as you've said, purchasing, and this is where I can sort of take from my for-profit experience and bring it into the nonprofit world. I mean, buying of any type or making the decision to donate, which is really a purchase of some kind, is an emotional decision with logical justification.
Listen to that. Emotional decision with logical justification. So you think that we lead with how it feels when we make these decisions.
It holds true for cars and for donations.
That's why I haven't bought that brand new Lamborghini yet. So my feeling about it has not matured. When you look at Tallahassee and you look at where we have been going, and you've been here long enough to, I think, speak to this, are we headed in the right direction?
I think we are. You know, I think talked about being in Tallahassee and how a Canuck ends up down here in the South in the first place. Of all the places I've ever lived, you know, everywhere you go, people say, you know, what makes this place special? And the answer always is, it's the people. Tallahassee is the only place that my wife and I have ever lived, and we've been here 9 years now. It's the only place we've ever lived where it really is the people.
Yeah.
And I think we've seen things here like the Community Human Services Partnership, CHSP, yeah. which is a novel approach, very strong. We've seen TCC take the lead on the INNIE,
yeah.
Which is wonderful, serving nonprofits and bringing them together for education and fellowship and, yeah. and really building a network. I think we've got a lot of good things going on.
So much so that if all of these nonprofits were to pull up stakes, how would that impact our local economy?
Great question. You know, first of all, I don't think that would ever happen, just because of the nature of the nonprofit.
We are the state capital, and
we're the state
advocacy
capital.
Is a part of their mission.
You know, and if you look at it, really, there are, I think the most recent statistics I've seen from GuideStar are there are 2,083, give or take, nonprofit organizations in Tallahassee. Now, that includes churches. Mm-hmm. It includes institutions of higher education. It includes what we would think of when we think of the nonprofit sector.
Charitable
organizations. And it also includes the innumerable state associations that are headquartered here.
Yeah.
The state associations aren't going anywhere. Mm. They need to be here for advocacy purposes, and it just makes sense.
Right.
The local nonprofits, of course, will come and go, depending on how well they're managed. Unfortunately, we've seen some close down in the last couple of years, which we never thought we would. But there will always be organizations that come forward to try to meet those.
If we look at it from a laissez-faire or from a marketplace point of view, they are in competition for resources.
Sure.
So what makes us think that they shouldn't market themselves?
Absolutely.
And there's a kind of hypocrisy there, isn't there?
Yes.
There's a sort of disconnect. We don't want them spending money on advertising. In my field of media and advertising over the years, it's always remarkable to me that boards will not approve a budget that says we're going to buy this TV ad or radio ad or whatever. Why is that?
You know, it's a great question. I think we just have not matured as consumers, and board members like others are consumers. You know, we're supporters of these organizations and consumers of some of the services and products that they provide. But we just have not matured to the point where we have a solid decision-making criteria with which to evaluate good business decision-making in a nonprofit sense.
Well, folks, this is the kind of conversation that brings us in touch with and exactly where Tallahassee is going, I think. And it's our pleasure to have Robin Johnston with us this morning, the founder of Motivation Design Group, who has brought us a few key insights into how this works. Thank you for being with us, my friend.
Pleasure to be here, Brian. Thank you.
Folks, stay with me. We've got more coming up after the top of the hour. ABC News is up ahead, and we'll see you here for more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Sue Semrau, head coach of Florida State women's basketball team.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are back. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is here just for you, my friend, because we like to talk with you and with the people who we find coming across our path that bring us the great things that make Tallahassee a special place. Sometimes we find people like Robin Johnston, who we got to hear from in this first hour today. With Motivation Design Group, totally focused on how he can help nonprofit organizations better function, whether it's in their fundraising or recruiting and retaining board members and such. Great guy, a visionary in my opinion. He's got a lot of insight in that stuff, and a good guy to know, and an example of somebody who has made his home here in Tallahassee with his family for a relatively brief period of time. I think he said he'd been here for the last 9 or 10 years, which in the life of the city is certainly not a long time. He's not a native of the Tallahassee area, nor of this country for that matter. An American citizen, but an import from our neighbors to the north. And so as a Canadian and now an American, he has a very unique perspective on things. If you miss Any portion of the show, by the way, you know that. We archive every one of our broadcasts, so you can go to our website, TallahasseeTalks.com, and there you can listen at your leisure if you want to share that with anybody. That's a permanent link that you can then email or post somewhere, and that way you can get in on all the good info. We continue to espouse the idea that our best, greatest natural resource in this region is our people. And the people who, like Drew Tillman, who's going to be coming up here in just a moment to bring us some of his musical samplings. We'll talk with Drew about this upcoming show, the 911, I think they've called it almost, or the unofficial reunion show. Is what so it's unofficial, but the 911 band that played together years ago has come back together for this particular event. And Drew will tell us about that along with one of his bandmates from days gone by. And it's a great opportunity for us to hear more of that music that makes Tallahassee's sound what it is. And so we're in that pursuit. We want to discover what is our sound. You know, if New Orleans has jazz and Chicago has what, blues, and you know, and Memphis has country and whatever, or Nashville. So what's Tallahassee sound? What does that feel sound like? You know, what is that? What is distinctive then about what makes Tallahassee's sound unique in the world? And that for us, along with the art and architecture and the festivals, the things we celebrate, the stuff that we think is worth promoting, man, that's at the core of our identity. And beyond our love for college football and state politics, all of that is part of our history, of course, and part of our daily lives. And yet here's an opportunity for us to see even more what more Tallahassee brings to the world. And it is emerging. And Robin Johnston is an example of that. Drew Tillman is as well. We will take note of the fact that many organizations around town are contributing sizably to that, not the least of which would be the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce, which, if you didn't catch this, made a decisive move to relocate their conference in 2016. This year's commitments are set. They are under contract with the hotel over there in Sandestin. But administratively, they decided that they would relocate for 2016 because of the fact that the Walton County Council, the commissioners over there, decided to replace the Confederate flag that had been flying there at the courthouse with their what they call bars and stars. So it's another Confederate flag, but it is not the battle flag. Well, okay, so they felt like they were being quite accommodating in doing so. Apparently some other folks, particularly those related to Tallahassee's Chamber of Commerce, didn't think so either. But those are the kinds of things that we are engaged in, are we not, in this ongoing question about what is appropriate and inappropriate, what is correct and incorrect. It's remarkable that, in fact, we find ourselves challenged with such questions, right? I mean, how long have we known about a Confederate flag being a part of Southern history, being part of our daily lives? When did this become critically important to us? So much so that it has raised the ire of many. And now it has taken on a kind of life of its own, I guess, in that those who want to capitalize on the sentiment for their own purposes then want to rally and say, yes, that's right. I don't know. It's sort of like the emperor who's finally revealed by the childish observations of one observer who says, wait a minute, that emperor, he don't have any pants on. The emperor has no clothes. And now all of a sudden, what was acceptable, it becomes unpopular. I'm not trying to persuade you one way or another. I tend to be a bit more academic in these kinds of conversations. I think it is interesting for us to note where we find our rootedness. That is to say, what is it that we care about most strongly, personally? And are those concerns a matter of us jumping on a bandwagon, right? So now it's popular to decry this particular emblem or this particular word or this flag or whatever. Well, where were you, let's say, prior to it becoming the popular strain? And of course, there are many who would step back and go, well, see, I don't participate in that. I'm not going to follow the herd just because now it's PC for me to stand up and say, oh, yeah, I believe that too. There are those who will say, yeah, I always thought it was wrong. I just didn't think it was my place to try to dissuade anybody from flying the flag. Let them do what they want to do. Others might say, well, you know what? I don't find it offensive because, you know, my great-grandfather fought in the Civil War and, you know, my family suffered or whatever. Or it's not a matter of it being related to the Civil War. It's a matter of Confederate history and its own value to those families and those individuals who identify themselves as Confederates or Southerners or however they do so. My point being simply this. Let us take stock of how we are individually motivated. Be mindful of where we're really anchored. What are the things that really make you cry? What are the things that make you laugh? What are you really holding on to? What is at the core of what you believe? Drew Tillman's going to help us get in touch with some of that because a lot of his music is aimed that way. And so we'll have him coming up here shortly, right after this break. I should pause here to remind you that we are benefited by many of these very fine businesses around who make it possible for us to bring you this show. And one of those being A Country Rose Florist. Yes, you've heard me talk about how great they are. Well, they certainly are, and if you'll check them out online, you'll find them at acountryroseflorist.com for the best in flowers, arrangements, and catering. Check it out. We'll be right back with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient. And they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
The 911 unofficial reunion is coming up Saturday, August the 15th. We've got Drew Tillman and the very lovely Steve Taft. They've joined us for the rest of the hour, and we're going to have the very first of several songs they're going to do for us. This one's called Sundance. Drew Tillman, Steve Taft. Go for it, guys.
Thank you.
Drew Tillman, Steve Taff, part of the marvelous 911 group that has played for many, many years around Tallahassee. Guys, that was awesome.
Thanks.
Thanks for being here today. I hope that all of you have tuned into this idea. That's just coming up August the 15th. That's a Saturday from 7 to 11 at American Legion Hall. Tickets are $10 at the door. All of that goes to help fund the Steve Taff Memorial Foundation, is that right?
Yeah, or absolutely.
The foundation for the mentally deranged.
Only if I don't live that long.
Ah, okay. right. Or the Hair Recovery Act, or something of that
absolutely.
Sort. Yeah. So there you go. So 911 reunion. Now tell us about 911 for those who may not have been around in those days.
Well, I think Richard named the band.
Ah.
He named the band, but we wrote a song called 911. I wrote a song called 911.
Ah.
About waking up with a ugly woman.
Yeah.
And it was a joke, totally a joke. And it just took off. And we're a garage band, I guess.
Yes. It's because Drew's sexist. It's a very sexist joke.
When all of us still had garages, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we had to do, exactly.
Do they have carport bands now? Is that how that works?
They're all acoustic.
Ah, oh, I see. Very
it's
good.
It's only the neighbors allowed.
Yeah, Richard Tingsted, is that right? Tingsted?
Tingsted. Yeah.
Tingsted and Lori Mayer Smith, Perry Nelson, accompanied by Steve Taff and Drew Tillman. You guys played together for a number of years. Well known to so many of the people around Tallahassee who just love this Tallahassee sound we keep talking about.
Yeah.
And Steve, you've been a part of that, haven't you?
I've been around for a few years.
At least about 60, 70. How old are you now, anyway?
Well, I'll be 85 in a week.
You're looking well for your age, I have to tell you.
Don't look a day over 50.
Thank you very much. Yeah, right.
So I'm somewhere between there.
So I said to my wife, you know, I hope I look as good as Dick Clark when I'm that age. She says, you don't look that good now. What's the matter with you? The jokes are free, by the way. Be sure to tip your waitress. Folks, we're going to keep these guys around because we got a lot more music coming at you, but we're learning a little bit about the history here. How did the band come together originally?
Perry came first. Perry, drummer, and then...
In the beginning.
Nelson.
In the beginning was Drew with another band. And then Drew got then.
Yes, and then Perry came, started playing with us, and then...
What was the name
of
that band?
We had a falling out with a guitar player, and he left. But actually, Richard came second. You came second?
Joe Passos was in the band.
Yeah, Joe Passos, when you...
Guys, we really don't care about this, okay? I just wanted you to know.
Okay. No, anyway, so I'll be succinct. Drew had a band called The Filters back then.
Yes.
And they were getting started and fumbling around, and Drew called Perry, got Perry to play drums. They were still fumbling around. Turmoil within the band. I don't know exactly. Drew called me one night because Perry had given him my name, so I came in the band.
It was probably that ugly woman that got you all upset.
It was. And then after that, Perry...
Women, money, and whiskey. I mean, come on.
Well, Perry and Richard and I had played together forever.
Yeah.
And so when the bass player got mad because Drew hired me, which was kind of funny, so then Perry and I ganged up on Drew, said we got this bass player because Richard and Perry and I went back from years before.
Okay, we've run out of time. time, Steve. So okay. Thanks for being succinct here, but we're getting it. You know, you guys had this desire, a passion for music, and you kept trying to figure it out, and finally 911 came to be, and now you're coming back after having been away for so many years. Drew, I know you've done a lot of other things musically, as have you, Steve. We're going to learn more about these guys if they'll stay with me. You stay with me, folks, because we've got a lot more coming up right here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Kathy Griffin, president of Widen Glass.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Drew Tillman, Steve Taff. This neat little upcoming concert, it's a week from today, as a matter of fact. It'll be on the 15th. But it's a concert at American Legion Hall from 7 to 11. Doors open at 7, $10 at the door. You're going to hear some great songs. We've got a bunch of that here for you today. We've just gotten to know a little bit more about Steve and the band and 911, how you guys came together. The music scene in Tallahassee seems to be kind of coming into its own. Do you agree? I feel like there's a lot of old-timers out there that have been playing for a long time. Some of us are just getting to the party here, and you guys are helping us get there. So, I mean, when you do a reunion concert of 911, you're looking back, you're looking in the rearview mirror, but for a lot of us, it's like, wow, we didn't realize we had that much going on.
We've discovered that a lot lately.
Yeah.
The last couple of years with other bands and stuff.
Yeah.
And our bands.
And so just the response we're getting.
Yeah.
Is just, I was amazed. Yeah. I thought, you know, if we got five people, you know, that came and loved us, that would be okay. But it's a pretty overwhelming response for us.
Yeah.
And we're real happy.
You think that for Tallahassee, and we've asked this question, we'll probably continue to ask, is there a kind of sound to what goes on in the way of original songs here, original music?
I think there is. I think there's an infinite amount of different styles of music. So, yeah, you can't put it in a box.
Yeah.
You have to say, well, yeah, this is definitely a tally sound.
Tallycana.
There you go.
That'll be the title of your next song.
I was always wanting to do original music.
Yep.
And the way it works is when I would give them a song, I would play the song for them, and I never ever said anything. I couldn't, but I didn't have to. I didn't have to say anything. Their love of music and their the way they interpreted things, Steve's heart, it's a guy that speaks through, you know, words. He speaks through notes and guitar and playing. And I can tell you, when we did this song that we're about to do, we were in the studio, and all of a sudden one of the machines broke. And just his guitar and my vocals came through. And that's how, on the album, that's how we began. And Perry was about to go correct it. I grabbed his hand and said, no, stop. And then Steve looked over and he goes, you got goosebumps. You know, you're really. And I said, yeah, I do. And I had tears in my eyes because out of the nothingness comes this song. You know, Simple Life.
Simple Life is the title?
And then I never said a word to Steve. Well, he just knew where the heart of the song was. He knew what it was, and all of them did. Richard was probably the most prepared of all of us coming into the studio. He came in, I don't care what curveball I threw him, or Perry threw him, or anybody threw, he was, okay, sure. You know, Richard's just that way. He's just, and of course, Perry is flawless. I hate him sometimes.
So in fact, what we're going to do now, this is called Simple Life. Go for it.
When I'm talking course. Said I know there is forever. Up ahead I see its light. See its light. I can see the giving. Stay with all my might. All my might. Till the last heart's right. And the sparkle of ignites. Bell is ringing, and we share a simple life, just a simple life. Well, she said she turned the pages, take the chance and don't look back. Broken night, it's over. Yet I give everything I have. Said I know your heart's been haunted. Said I'll chase away the ghosts. Chase the ghosts. And I can see the giving. See the hope till the last heart's crying, and the spark of love ignites. Every bell is ringing, and we share a simple life. Just a simple life. This life has shattered you, and you feel you can't remain. I will be the reason you can try again. Try again.
Tillman with Steve Taff. We are delighted to have you guys with us here today. We are looking forward to this concert coming up next Saturday night, 7 to 11 at the American Legion Hall there at Lake Ella. Tickets are $10 at the door. You don't want to miss this. Folks, I tell you, if you've asked yourself, what's going on in town? What's going on with Tallahassee? Well, here's a great way of finding out, and a sampling of the spirit of this town. It's been said, and we'll probably say repeatedly, our greatest natural resource in this town is our people. And these people that have come to us today, representing Richard Tingsted and Lori Mayer Smith, Perry Nelson, all these guys coming together in this reunion of 911. When you think about the music that you perform, and I know, Drew, you've been asked, I think, four times to perform over there at the 30A Songwriters Festival. Do you feel like a lot of younger artists don't find opportunity to bring original music in this community of ours? Or are we need more opportunity for them, I guess, is the question.
Yes.
because they get pushed back.
They do. And Steve, you just did several things with younger, some of the younger artists, and was teaching them, showing them what to do. We've been doing this for a while, so you know, his ability to arrange. That's the other thing, you know. It's not just writing the music, but it's how you interpret, how you arrange it, how you, and then when you present it to the people and the venues. We need more.
Yeah, I tell you, when you say that about the young people and getting original music into the community, there is so much awesome players, so many awesome players, and so much awesome music in here. And it's extremely frustrating to me.
Folks, we'll have more to talk about there. Stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, folks, I'm Jerry Thigpen, blues guitar player here in Tallahassee, coming at you for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on 93.
So we're back and we're talking with Drew Tillman, Steve Taft, these guys who just won't go away. They keep coming up with more songs and neat ideas, and now they got this 911 reunion. It's not a tour, because everybody does tours, so they're just doing a show, and it's called the 911.
It's the Lake Ella tour.
Yeah, there you go.
So we walk around the lake four times, and then we have the concert, and it's this next Saturday night from 7 to 11, $10 at the door at the American Legion Hall with the Ducks. Great stories from Bob Jennings about ducks at Lake Ella. We'll have to talk about that. Well, we can talk about
it ducks.
Now. Well, apparently there was a time when Jennings was up here and on the road with his group and or whatever they were at the time, and they were always playing pranks on each other, and they were staying at the cottages at Lake Ella, which of course are now not cottages as such. They're, you know, retailers and bike shops and ice cream and stuff like that. But in those days you could stay in this little motel. So he got a loaf of bread and he went out early one morning while all the other guys are sacked out, and coaxed about 400 ducks to come walking into the little cottages where these guys were sleeping, and then left and closed the door behind him. So when they woke up, here were these 400 ducks all around.
That's good.
That was Bob Jennings. You got to say, awesome. Now that's a very clever and very creative man.
And quiet.
And quiet.
That would be a quiet.
That was Bob Jennings. Yeah. You know, he's going to get you. You'll find out about it, and you're not realizing until it's happened.
Until it's old.
You know, one of the other things that we talk about here a lot, guys, not only is Tallahassee's sound beginning to emerge, the community at large is really a lot different in terms of the kinds of folks that we see. You know, some of the old-timers that are native are fewer in number. And it's getting to the point where most of these folks that we are working with are coming from different parts of the country. We had a guy named Robin Johnston was on earlier this morning in our first hour, and he's from Canada. He's been here about 9 years, but loves Tallahassee, has lived in various parts of the country. So it seems as though, beyond it being the place where people come to go to school, right, or they come here to lobby, or they come here to work for the state, this is a place that is attracting a kind of person. Is that your experience? What do you see happening?
Absolutely. I see it all the time, and in my other job, where I deal with a lot of people that do move to town, and you're absolutely right. And it's always one of my questions, like, why Tallahassee?
Yeah.
Because there is no, you know, there's the school and the university, there's the university, I mean, the schools and the state government, but what else about it? And everybody just likes it. I mean, the parks, Yeah. The vibe. It's the biggest small town and yet the smallest big town.
Isn't that something? Yeah. That's been said too, that it's a small town with a lot of people in it.
Right? Yeah.
And it seems to be to me as well that it still tips its hat to its southern stylings, but it's not as southern in some respects as it used to be. To me, it has a more metropolitan kind of cosmopolitan sort of mix, right?
It's not that southern.
A lot of diversity,
sophistication.
Yeah.
It hits more that the music, the vibe brings. I think an excellence to Tallahassee, and people kind of rise to it.
Yeah.
And then there's us.
And then there's us.
And we just lower it right back down.
Which is important, you know, it gives us all something to aspire to not be. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, okay. Carport van, right?
The carport van, yeah.
Yes, that's right. So you talked about, giving local music the chance to get out there to the world.
Yeah. Yeah,
because what you're saying is that the music we're playing is not local. I mean, I guess the best way to say it is that there's a lot of success that has come out of Tallahassee.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of success that stayed here.
Yeah,
and so
much success to you guys. We're looking forward to the show. It's coming up a week from today, next Saturday night, 7:00. American Legion Hall. Tickets are $10 at the door. You don't want to miss this, guys. This is going to make your weekend even more specialer than you could have possibly have imagined. Drew Tillman, Steve Taff, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You.
Thanks.
We've got some great music up ahead here with another song from these gentlemen. This one's called What Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend, which I take is not the Marilyn Monroe version, right?
Well, yeah. Actually, yes.
Oh, yeah. Is it?
Right.
So who wears the wig?
Just like
who wears the wig? That's what I want. And the heels. So we're going to turn these guys loose. We will close out the show at this point, and I will tell you that we are the production of, this show is the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising, based right here in Tallahassee. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'm going to let the music carry us out through the rest of the show, and you'll be back with me again next Saturday. We'll be looking for you right here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Kiss on a hand might be quite continental. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Kiss may be grand, but it won't pay your rent so long you're humble flat. Help you at the automat, and guys grow cold, girls grow old. Yeah, we all lose our charm in the end. Quit spending those louses, go back to their spouses. I said, diamonds are a girl's best friend. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Let's rock. Come a time when the lass needs a lawyer. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Well, there may come a time when your hard-boiled employer thinks you're real nice, you know. Forget that ice or else no dice. He's your guy when stocks are high, but beware when they start to descend. You'd spend with those louses, go back to their spouses. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. I said, diamonds are girl's best. Let's rock again. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. best friend. Diamonds are girls. Diamonds are girls' best friend. Diamonds are girls' best friend. Diamonds are diamonds are girls' best friend. Diamonds are girls. 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 Diamonds are girls' best friend. Well, a kiss on the hand might be quite continental. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Kiss may be grand, but it won't pay your rent. So long your humble flat will help you at the automat. Guys grow cold, girls grow old. Yeah, we all lose our charm in the end. It's then that those louses go back to their spouses. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. One more. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Let's rock one more time.
Stop shop for tripping out to truck. Truck and car concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Truck and Car Concepts smoking hot summer savings are going on now. Get your free tailgate pong game with your purchase of any item $500 or more. A free tailgate pong game for your next tailgating party.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. With their cars, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate pong game this week with your purchase of any item $500 or more at Truck and Car Concepts. Smoking hot summer savings going on now.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop. We always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.